You are listening to Renaissance Voices, a podcast about stories and the people who write them. Let's join Christine and Taylor and see where their guest is today.
Well, welcome to Renaissance Voices. My name is Christine O'Dell, and I am the owner of Eight Owls Publishing. I have a very special guest sitting across from me today. I affectionately call her Miss Joyce. I think a lot of people call her Miss Joyce. Like, and if you know her, you don't need to know anything else other than the fact that Miss Joyce is one of those powerhouse women that have just poured into people throughout the years. She is a mentor to so many people. She loves the Lord with all of her heart, and she loves to see others flourish. So when I said the word flourish, it was important to me because God gave me that word for 2023. My word for 2022 was rooted. You can't flourish, right, unless you're rooted. And so I feel like God was building some things in my life. And obviously, he needed me to be rooted in a variety of ways in 2022. But I'm really looking forward to finding out what it means to fully flourish in 2023 and what God is wanting to accomplish. I know that our church does that, right? We usually have a theme throughout the year, and Pastor John gets a theme, and we don't normally fully understand the fullness of that theme until close to the end of the year. And we realize we have appropriated this concept or the fullness of the meaning of the word or whatever it is all throughout the year. And then we feel like we grow together when we do that. And then we move into the new year. Is there anything about that, Miss Joyce, that really speaks to you? Or do you, are there certain scriptures? Are there certain words? Are there just certain things that you can look back on and say, I know that maybe I haven't even had that particular experience, but I can see how God has just kind of done that throughout your life. What are your thoughts about that?
I haven't really specifically done that, but I have had them before. Maybe they were given to me at the beginning of a new year, and someone who is praying over me for the new year. And I know one year it was, I'm trying to think, it's from the book of Jude. It was contending for the faith.
Right.
Contend for the faith. And I was talking to someone just the other day about that. I said, what does that mean? I said, well, it means, we have things that we believe. And what we need to do is hold fast to them and do all that we can to not let them slip away from us, because they're so vital for our maturation and strength for what we will face. And actually, while I was just praying a while ago, I believe that I have a verse for this year.
Really?
And I think when I pray like that, usually something drops in quickly.
Right.
So I don't know why I don't do it all the time. But it's, he must increase and I must decrease.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that really, I think, takes on the rooted and what you said. I mean, it encompasses both of those things.
100%. Yeah. We can't flourish in our own strength. We flourish in him, right? And we grow in him, and we have to be rooted in him in order to do those things. And I guess, Miss Joyce, that is really just been your life. Right? I mean, you are such a grounded person, and you really do seek to bring those around you into that understanding of a deeper relationship with Jesus. One of those people that have been kind of your, someone you have taken under your wing, her name is Junia. Can you say her last name for me?
Voltaire is her maiden name. And then
that's okay. We're going to ask Junia to pronounce
I've been practicing it, and she said the other day, oh, you say that so well. And I said, I've been practicing. Now I can spell it, but I can't remember how to pronounce it. It's French.
It's French. I had to spell it quite often when I did her book. But Miss Junia, we have you on the line. And I want to just welcome you along with Miss Joyce and say welcome to the podcast. And we are really looking forward to talking with you tonight.
Hello. I want to say good afternoon to everyone. Good afternoon to you, Miss Christian. And thank you for having me and Mom Joyce. Good afternoon to you and for everybody who's going to listen to the emission tonight.
I'm
happy to be part of it.
We are happy that you're here. Can you say your whole name for us?
Junia Voltaire Jumel.
Jumel.
It's beautiful. I just can't pronounce it. It's such a beautiful name. I wanted to have Miss Joyce here when we talked to you because she has been so instrumental in your life. I don't really even know the story of how you guys met, other than I believe it was at Christ for the Nations. Is that correct? Can one of you tell me just a little brief introduction about the way that you guys met?
I don't remember the date exactly, but I remember it's in 2013. And I was kind of running in the backyard of school. And when Mom just comes visit another friend of mine and said to me, "Oh, let me introduce you to my mom." And I thought it was her birth mom, but turned out to be Mom Joyce. And then we met that night, and she said, "Would you mind to go to church to church with me on Sunday?" I was like, but you know, since then, we've been to take time to come and get me every Wednesday.
Wow.
Sunday wasn't possible because I was helping an African church with the children ministry. That's why I could not go on Sunday. But every Wednesday, Mom Joyce and Dad, who passed away now, they came and get me from Sessionai to go to Just for Life House and take me back to the campus after service. And after that, from that time, we start to know each other. Now it's weekend. I can have good food during the weekend. So, and then from there, and we starting to know each other, and I think I cannot say Miss Joyce anymore because she's more than Miss for me. She's my mom. She's my sponsor. She's my mentor. So I can go to her. She's my bookshelf. So I can talk everything in my mind with her.
I love that you said she's your bookshelf. I love that. That's a great analogy of who she is. She is a wealth of knowledge and wisdom, and she does have a mothering heart. So, Miss Joyce, you saw Junia, what did you see in her initially?
Well, the first time I saw her, she explained that, but she had had an accident at the library. She had been working with a paper cutter, and she accidentally cut off the end of her thumb. And she had kind of a little cast type thing on it, but she could take it off. And when she did, the end of her thumb came off with it. She'd just stick it back on there, believing God was going to grow it back. And what she said, and she'd had that piece off for hours. Was it 6 hours, Junia?
Yes.
6 hours before they even got to her at the emergency room, and the doctor said, I don't think it's going to grow back. And she said, "When I die, I want all of my body to be with me." Is that right, Junia?
That's awesome. So, do you have a full thumbnail?
She does, but that didn't grow back. I explained to the intercessors at Gospel Lighthouse we went to on Wednesday night. She started after that. I was telling them about Junia and her thumb, and someone in the intercessor said, "I can believe more easily for the Lord to grow the thumb back than I can for that to attach itself." And so that's what we prayed for, and it has grown out. She says, "It's even prettier than my other thumb."
story. I love that story. You know, Junia, you can believe for all kinds of things for the Lord. Your faith is strong because you have quite a testimony about, you know, God really miraculously coming into your situation and saving your life in a very dire circumstance. And that's what your book is about. Your book is called Survival, and it is your story of maneuvering the city during the 2010 Haitian earthquake. Is that correct? 2010?
Yes.
Can you give us just kind of a brief synopsis of what took place, where you found yourself, and how God came and really, you know, walked you through a very difficult situation?
Yes. First of all, I want to say thank you to the House of Judicial, because without both of you, Mom Joyce, and, you know, English is not my first language, but I would try to pronounce it. It's all publishing.
You did great. Right? Yes.
So, thank you so much, because it was a dream. It was a dream. I remember I wrote that down. I would like to write a book. But without having a place to publish in the book, it would be a dream. But you guys, after Mom Joyce, to tell you story, you know, there was a lot of things to correct there, because English is not my first language. I say the same thing for you all, thinking that I said in English, but it was in Creole. Mom just encouraged me since we met, after she heard my testimony. She said, why don't you write that down? Mm-hmm. I do write it down, but it's not my first language.
Right.
So I don't know if it's correct. And she said, I'm going to go through it with you anytime. So we were able to do that. And coming alongside of you, Christine, believing in me, believing in the book, believing in Mom Joyce too, because she was the one that introduced me to you.
Yes.
Say, okay, let's do it. And I was so blessed, because you guys encouraged me to do that, and I can have that testimony I would give. And it is about how God saved my life throughout of the earthquake in 2010, January 10, 2010. So I was at the university in that moment. I was studying accounting my first year. When I heard the sound that something is shifting, I did not know what was, because nobody ever told me about earthquake before.
Wow.
And I was like, what is it?
Right.
Trying to run, but that was the last thing I can remember I said. And from my memory, I remember I feel someone pushed me from my back, but it's so unusually for me when they saw me, because it's someone I was in front of the class. It's like I was talking to the teacher. I'm trying to make the story short. But when they found me next to the door. So I have one side of the door fall on my whole body, and then I have one side of the building fall on my right side.
Just to clarify, Junia, you were in a schoolroom. You were in your college room, right?
Yes.
And when the earthquake hit and the whole building collapsed.
Yes.
And you were in the middle of it all.
Yes, I was there. I was actually, I'm always sitting in front, like I said on the book, for two reasons. Field vision and I'm short. So kind of like the front seat, it's the best place for me to see what is going on and like what the teacher is doing.
Right.
And I was talking with the teacher, so I was in front, standing up and talking with the teacher when everything stopped.
Wow.
So there I was for a few hours, I believe so. And then suddenly noise come outside. I feel like I did not know when everything passed from me. So I don't know that part. It's kind of like there's a blank part.
Sure.
And when I wake up, I found my body underneath of all the things. And I start screaming. If someone can hear me, I'm still alive.
Yeah.
But there was a student. He was looking for his sister, thinking that the voice that he heard is his sister. So he tried to clear the dirt out of my face. But when he saw my face, I wasn't the sister, and I understand now. He left me.
Wow.
But he came louder. If someone can hear me, please come help me. I'm still alive. And there was all the students who know me before. And then there was the genitalia of the school that come in since I'm not too tall. So they imagine if they can see my head, I'm not too far.
Yeah.
So they try to drag me. There wasn't anything to pull off the thing from that was on my body. So they dragged me.
Mm.
And I got a lot of cuts. And I was bleeding. I was in pain. I was so miserable in that moment. But through God's grace. But I remember one thing I said. I can remember that clearly. When I wake up, it felt like I was in a dream. But I said to God, if it's my time to go home, I'm ready. And at that time, I felt the strength come upon me and scream out and say, help me, I'm still alive.
Wow. Wow. So I'm going to clarify just for our listeners, too, that had this man not been looking for his sister, you know, I mean, he was instrumental in other people finding you because he came and cleared your face, cleared all the rubble and the dirt from your face so that your cries weren't muffled and you could yell even louder. He himself didn't rescue you, but it allowed you to be able to really call out to other people who came and found you and pulled you out. So yes. In your book, yes. You talk about how there is this whole journey of you getting to the hospital. You felt like you needed to get home. You felt like you might need to go to the hospital. The problem was that the hospitals were overrun. They couldn't get to people. There was so many casualties throughout the city, right? Buildings collapsed. You couldn't even get to places because of all of the collapsed building and all the rubble in the city. So it was quite a journey. And you chronicled that journey all the way through your book. Tell me, when you finally got to the hospital, you had a friend that stayed with you, got you to the hospital, stayed with you. But she herself was afraid that you weren't going to make it. When you got to the hospital and really understood the full diagnosis of what had happened to you, can you give us just a little bit of that?
Yes. When my friend from school, they took me to the hospital. But when we got there, I was so overloaded, so they could not take people in. So we were outside, on the ground outside. And I did not have any clothes on me because my clothes were here from the rubble. And then, but while they were getting inside of the hospital with me, I saw that because the story is in my book, but I'm trying, like, you know, make it short. So I fall in the back of the truck I was. But my friend, she heard my voice. She wasn't with me. It was the Lord. She was going through the way. And then she kind of heard me crying, and she said, is that Junior?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yes. Yeah. She said, oh, that's my little sister. We call her everybody's sister. So that's my little sister. So she shared the night with me at the hospital. And I was bleeding. I was thirsty. And I was kind of like feeling like I'm going somewhere. Kind of the trees out. Time seems like it's another end of the world, so I did not really have my kids. And I keep telling her, she wants to leave. And I said, no, don't go, because if you go, I die.
Mm-hmm.
My parents will not know where I am, so stay until I die. But finally, I told her I was thirsty, but there wasn't any water. And he went there and fight because I kind of like had some broken bones. I did not know yet, but he started praying. He started to pray. He said, the same way Elijah, the story of Elijah praying over the boy, he was acting the same action. So he lay on top of me and started singing and singing and singing. I could not sing, but he was the one singing. And as he's singing over me, I can feel it now. I kind of like seeing my I feel my daddy is kind of seeing the story. So she was singing. I felt the Spirit of the Lord come upon me, and it was a cry of hallelujah.
Yes.
And I said, my bones is, I have broken bones. He said, how do you know? I said, I don't know, but I can feel my right shoulder is broken. Mm-hmm. And she said, tell me. I said, I feel my waist is broken. And I started telling her the part of my body that I felt hurt. And it was the right side, since I had a dream when I was 8 years old. So the same way the dream was happening is the same way the headset happened. So I tell her, like, everything that I felt. And she said, what should I do? My dad always tell her, if you get hurt, nobody did. Find something intelligent. So I told her what to do. But she went there and find a dead person. She take the pain and come back and tell that and cut my right shoulder, cut my wrist and one of my legs. And I told her, if I don't die tomorrow, take me home.
Yeah, yeah.
And the next day, it would be another story.
So your friend just believed in the power of God. I know that you're a strong, faith-filled woman, Junia, because I've had great conversations with you. And what an amazing God we serve, that he would bring to you in the midst of all of that rubble, another faith-filled person to pray over you and sing over you and declare life over you and really stay with you. You know, and then what you said was that because of your severe injuries, you had very severe injuries, and you were telling her what they were because you could sense them, you could feel them. You had had a dream about them years before. So now all of that was coming into clarity for you. She went and found clothes. She got clothes off of somebody who had died so that she could wrap you up and secure your shoulder and your ribs and whatnot so that you could survive the night. And you really do chronicle that in your book. But your ultimate goal was to get home. And you talk about that over and over in your book. Your ultimate goal was to get home because at this point, the hospitals are overrun. They really can't take in anybody else. And you felt that that was not the safest place for you to be. And so you leave in that condition, you leave and you journey home. So, and then in your book, you talk about that. When you get there, your mother is waiting for you. You talk about your relationship with your mother all throughout the book. But I want us to transition. I'm just telling you, it is a phenomenal testimony of the power of God. And your belief in him and your persistence that you were going to survive because God had given you the unction to do so. And she tells the whole story in her book. But I want to just kind of move us into the fact that in the midst of all of that and having to recover, having to really, you know, deal not just with a physical recovery, but an emotional recovery and all the trauma that event, you know, really exposed you to, you end up at Christ for the Nations, which is a Bible college here in Dallas. And you, Junia, have just flourished. I guess that's our word of the evening, right? Is flourished. You have flourished in all that God has had for you. Can you just kind of tell us, since coming to Dallas, what has taken place in your life?
Actually, I have to say that too before I go to Dallas, because everything, not only God's grace, I'm still alive, but, you know, family matters. Because God put her on my way, but my brother, my mom, without, that's why I met, like, when I say take me home, I said, if I can get to my mom, I don't know, she's not a doctor, but in my faith, I say, if only I can get to my mom, I will survive, because I know her relationship with God. She's praying and everything. And my brother. So after that, my brother, they are the ones that do my process to come to Christ for the nation. And I was able to get a scholarship. And that's another miracle, because I was of five people who applied from my church for scholarship. I was the only one who got the scholarship.
Wow.
It was amazing, because the other people were studying the process way before me. And my brother just decided to study for me. And I received it. They thought, oh, but it was God keeping that, you know, making way for me.
Yes.
And since I come to faith tonight, I understand more. I understand more my purpose in life, my calling as a minister, and I understand more to what God really wants me. I always say to God, this is a second chance to give me.
Right.
This is a second life to give me. What do you want me to do with that?
That's beautiful.
I was thankful before. I grew up and lived in a Christian home, and I give my life to Jesus. I work with children. I do everything. But my understanding now was not the same before.
Right.
So with Stephanie, I was able to understand the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. I was able to understand a lot of spiritual background, like how to pray, how to fight in the spirit, how to pray in the spirit. And this is what happened too, because when my thumb was cut off, I was like, God, I'm going to pray 15 minutes every morning in tongues to make that tongue grow. But before, I did not know about tongues. Nobody ever told me about that. So from Stephanie, I learned a lot, and I was able to complete the book. And my mom just was able to help me with all these different lives.
Yeah.
So I am really happy and really grateful for every little piece that God placed in my life.
Oh, absolutely. I am very thankful to have worked with you, Junia, on this. Miss Joyce, what do you want to say about all of this, about this amazing woman and her testimony and what you know about her?
Well, she was talking about how when she went to Christ for the Nations, how she learned so many things, and even about speaking in tongues and things, because in Haiti, there are some people that speak in tongues, but it's not the real thing. And so a lot of Pentecostals in Haiti are reluctant to do that because they don't want to get into deception.
Wow.
But one thing that happened when Junior was at Christ for the Nations, there was a speaker there and talking about not making any idols, not having any idols in our life. And so she was searching her heart. Do you know what I'm talking about, Junia?
Yeah.
The picture of your father?
Oh, yeah.
tell that story, because it's so sweet.
Yes. I am a daddy girl. So I used to be a daddy girl. My dad passed away since I was 13 years old. And I always carry the, how do you say that?
Picture. Photograph of your dad.
A photograph, the one that he lay on the funeral. So I always have that picture with me everywhere I go. So I always have the picture with me. And one day, there was a service at Stephanie, and the guest speaker was talking about don't keep anything as an idol. And they asking for forgiveness, because it was hard for me in my heart that why God take my dad so early. I did not have the time to spend with my dad. And it was that day I was completely set free. Because after he goes through and talk about, like, it's time the Lord take your dad away. It was like the guest speaker was kind of knowing what's happening. He doesn't have any clue. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. But it was like he was there. He was with me. He knows that I carry that everywhere I go. And right. He was talking about that. And I was like, I think the Holy Spirit gave me the strength to take that away off my shoulder and take it away off my everywhere I put it so I can be free. And yes, so that was how I really accept that my dad is gone. It's all right. And it's not the Lord that's taken away, like I thought. And I have peace in my heart.
You have peace in your heart. I want to close with this, Junia. You know, you are an example of someone who has walked through a very traumatic experience, not just one time, but several times. I know growing up in Haiti wasn't easy, even before the earthquake.
Oh, no.
You lost your dad at a very early age. And then the enormity of that event in 2010. And yet, when I talk to you, you are a young lady filled with joy. And that in itself, that is just a brilliant testimony of the power of God and what He can do in a life. You, just as you talked about, you know, CF&I and or Christ for the Nations, and this time that Miss Joyce talked about where you just let God deal with all the idols of your heart. That's how you find freedom in Christ. And you are just a beautiful picture of that, that you're not going to make a bunch of excuses. You're going to say, no, Jesus, I have been given this life again. That's what you said, right? You had been
given,
you know, a second chance at life, and I'm not going to waste it. And so here's my heart. Here's my life. Whatever you want to do, Lord, I am fully yours. And I just want to say, Junia, you are just such a joy to be around. I sense that when I'm with you. You don't even have to really talk to challenge me. I just feel it. It just comes out of you. And I appreciate people like that. I appreciate people who say, we have been given this one life and we need to live it fully for Jesus. And we need to just do whatever it takes to get there, because that to me is just a beautiful testimony of how God can take any situation and turn it around for His glory and give us the abundant life that we've all been created for. And you are a beautiful testimony of abundant life. So thank you so much for being a guest here on my podcast. If you are interested in reading Junia's book, you can find that on the 8 Owls Publishing website. You just go to 8owlspublishing.com. You can also find it on Amazon. Again, the title of her book is Survivor. It is a harrowing story, but you will see the pureness of her heart in it all and how she just wants to give glory to God. So, Miss Joyce, we thank you too for being here with us tonight.
It's a pleasure.
You just have been so integral in Junia's life, and I wanted you to be here as well.
Thank you. I also
want to say to you, Miss Joyce, thank you for all that you have done throughout the years of just really mentoring other people to come into the fullness of who Jesus is. You hear it in Junia when she says, I can't call her Miss Joyce. I call her Mom Joyce. And she's not the only one. There's so, so many hearts that have been so affected by your ministry to live abundantly in Christ. So thank you for who you are as well.
Thanks.
And we just, I just want to say this in closing, that no matter what you walk through, that really is who Jesus is. He is so grieved at some of the things that we have to walk through in this life, but He has an answer to it all. And He heals us from the inside out. You know, if He can grow a thumb back and He can take a young lady with a broken back and maneuver her through the city and bring her all the way through all of that, He is here to help you through whatever circumstance you have as well. That's just how good He is. And that is who He is.
Yes.
And He is not a respecter of persons. All you have to do is call out to Him in faith, believing, and watch Him work.
You have been listening to Renaissance Voices. To listen to more interviews by your favorite authors at 8L's Publishing, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app. You may also follow us on social media. Links are found in the show notes.